Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
If I haven't graduated to the iPad and the tablet and all that, I still write my notes in the spiral notebook and all that kind of stuff. Ooh, but there's a fan. Uh-oh, that might be a problem. No, it's okay, because it's hot also, so it's okay. Yep, y'all got me right under the bright light. It's okay. Good evening. I won't be before you long. I don't have much of an introduction for myself. I grew up in the CD, and I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, though. And my parents and I moved to Seattle when I was a year and a half for my dad to pastor a church. And my dad is here tonight on the back row. You want to raise your hand, Dad? A round of applause for Dad. I don't know why you're sitting way back there, but that's okay. And so, you know, that means I was a PK, and y'all know what that means. I couldn't go to the movies. Couldn't go skating, couldn't play cards, couldn't do any of that kind of stuff. But you know what? It laid a foundation for who I am today. And that's not to say that I spent a few years, if I'm being honest, trying to do my own thing and trying to kick it and all that. But because of those things that were instilled in me by my parents, I came on back. Amen? So again, I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to talk about devoted, because that's the theme, devoted. So the one good thing about when you're asked to bring the word, I do sort of a deep dive study. And when I do that, I can see how it pertains to me. What do I need to do? You know, so I'm asking myself, when we're talking about devoted, how devoted am I? Yeah. So before we do it, we have to even find out what devoted is. Uh-huh. And the thing is, this is, I don't think it's wrong to be devoted to more than one thing or more than one person, right? We're devoted to, if you're married, our spouses. We're devoted to our kids. We're devoted, some of us, to our jobs. If you're in ministry, we're devoted to ministry. But I think the question is, what are you most devoted to? What gets the most of your attention? What gets the most of your faithfulness? What gets the most of your energy? So before we go into that, we have to even ask ourselves, what does devoted mean? I looked up devoted in the King James Bible Dictionary, and that's another thing, y'all, is I'm a researcher. So all you're going to do is what y'all going to get tonight is what I got, which ministered to me first in doing my research. The King James Bible Dictionary defines devoted as this: appropriated by vow, solemnly set apart or dedicated, consecrated, addicted. So to be fully, completely, wholly devoted, we must be set apart. And a lot of what my brother preached here is kind of like streamlined to what I'm saying. So this is kind of just like a remix to what you preach, because we have a lot of the same scripture references. So that was good to me as I was sitting there listening to you, because it was just confirmation of what God wants to say tonight. Romans 12:2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to be set apart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Uh-oh, there's no one to put my, that's okay. So I want to go to 1 Kings 8:61. I'll let y'all go there if y'all got your Bibles or your phones or your iPads or your tablets or whatever you have. But 1 Kings 8:61, in the New American Standard Bible, I'm going to read it in three different versions. The New American Standard Bible says this: let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted. We're talking about devoted tonight, right? Yeah. The theme is devoted. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. The New International Version, same verse, 1 Kings 8:61 says this: and may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. And the King James Version, same verse says, let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. So when we're talking about being devoted, we have to be holy, which is entirely and completely. We have to be fully, which is completely to the furthest extent. And perfect is what was in the King James Version. The Greek definition for that is complete and full. We're talking about being devoted. Because God don't want half. Y'all know that, right? God don't want 90%. Y'all quiet. I know y'all getting tired. It's almost 9 o'clock. But y'all know that God don't want half. 90% isn't even good enough for God. 95% isn't even good enough. Fully, wholly, completely. We have to be consecrated, according to the King James Bible Dictionary. Consecrated is having been made or declared sacred. Sacred is holy, sanctified, dedicated, and connected to God. Are y'all connected to God? We're talking about being devoted. Is there a connection? Do you have a connection with God? These are all words that define devoted. See, to be truly and fully devoted to God, you must have a connection with him. You must have a relationship with him. You know what else connection is? Bond. You must have a bond with God. And then one of those definitions was addicted. Addicted is enthusiastically devoted to a particular thing or activity. Are you enthusiastically devoted to God? Not just because you feel like it's something you have to do because you're a Christian, so you feel obligated or by guilt, but are you enthusiastic about being devoted to God? So just not devoted, but enthusiastic. Enthusiastic is an intense, energetic, exuberant devotion. It's not forced. It's not forced by obligation. It's not, I got to do this because I'm a Christian. It's a heartfelt willingness, pure, genuine desire to be devoted to the Lord. So what then are we devoted to? We could just simply say, y'all, we need to be devoted to God. But God is like the big umbrella, right? Where underneath it, there's other things that we need to be devoted to that causes us to be wholly devoted to God. We have to be devoted to prayer. We have to be devoted to worship. We have to be devoted to studying the word of God, and not just studying it, but living it out. We have to be devoted to fasting. See, that's when we forget about a lot, fasting. And y'all know the Bible says, when you fast, do these things. Not if you fast, but when you fast, because that is something that we need to be doing. Devoted to obedience and also devoted to others. So we're going to hit a couple of these. Be devoted to prayer. It is impossible to get to know someone if you don't spend time with them, and it's impossible to trust someone whom you do not know. Prayer, y'all, is not optional, but it's crucial to living a victorious life in Christ. Not only does prayer bring us closer to God, it defeats the devil. Prayer strengthens us, and it strengthens our faith. When we spend time with God, he is working to change our heart to be more like his. The more time we spend with him, the more time we're like him. Our habits and our lifestyles change. We no longer live a self-centered life, but we live one that's focused on others with a pure and sincere heart. Prayer changes us from the inside out. Prayer brings forth breakthrough, and breakthrough strengthens our faith. I want us to remember that we are not at all, by any stretch of the imagination, doing God a favor by praying. Not at all. We are doing ourselves a favor. That's right. While it's true that the Lord longs to hear from us, can you guys imagine that? The one who created the heavens, he longs to hear from you. While it's true, he longs to hear from us. He longs to be in communion with us. He longs to have our undivided attention. But praying is more of a benefit to us than it is to him. I read a quote from C.S. Lewis, and it says, "Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me." Praying because we are supposed to isn't enough to motivate us. But the truth is that prayer is much more than a rule. Prayer is important because it makes us more like Jesus and it reveals his heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." That word ceasing in the Greek means intermission or uninterrupted. So pray without intermission. Pray uninterrupted. There's so many possible interruptions and distractions in our fast-paced daily living. But we have to remember that we cannot let things interrupt our prayer life. We cannot let things disturb. We cannot get so busy that we're distracted from having a healthy prayer life. We cannot allow things to disturb and interrupt our prayer life. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So those two verses tell us devoted prayer, in devoted prayer, to be watchful and to be alert. A healthy, devoted prayer life keeps us on guard. It keeps us alert. It keeps us watchful. It keeps us awake. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Prayer is our source of protection. I'm going to jump down to be devoted to worship. How many of y'all know worship is important? We've all heard that worship is a lifestyle. Worship is more than singing a beautiful song, more than clapping and lifting our hands during a church service. Those type of displays of adoration to God is indeed part of worship, but there is certainly more to worship than just that. There is scripture in the Bible that call our attention to outward praise that develops into worship. Psalm 95, for example, is titled A Call to Worship. It speaks of singing and shouting joyfully, bowing down and kneeling before God. That indeed is worship. But then you read scriptures like Romans 12:1, the scripture that my brother read, that says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Holy living, righteous living, obedient to God's word, that, my friends, is worship. How we behave is worship. Our godly responses and reaction is worship. When that person cuts you off on the street, how you respond to that is worship. When somebody's at your job talking crazy about you, how you respond to that is worship. Our godly responses and reactions are indeed worship. Letting our light shine before men is worship. And worship goes hand in hand with what we talked about concerning prayer. As we said before, devoted prayer deepens and strengthens our relationship with God. Well, the more we know about God, the more we appreciate him. The more we appreciate him, the deeper our worship gets. The deeper our worship gets, the more God is glorified, and that's what it's all about. Glorifying God in all we do is true worship. Worship is not merely the idea of adoration of God, but it covers the entire range of how we live our lives. Worship causes transformation of our spirits. Worship clears our vision to clarify what is the true will of God concerning our lives. It sharpens our awareness of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. Worship grows our relationship with the Lord. Worship gives us inspiration and a confident hope in who exactly God is. We have to be devoted to studying the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God is crucial. Not just reading it, but knowing it. Studying the Word of God is important. We have to study it to know it. The Word of God is our weapon. It's the only thing that can truly combat the devil's evil plans and his evil schemes against our lives. It's the only thing that can stand against temptations. We can rebuke the devil all we want. I rebuke you in the name. I come against you. We can do that all day and all night. But if you don't know the Word, it's the Word that you use to fight against the devil. There is definitely power in the name of Jesus. But when it boils down to it, the Word of God is our weapon. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness after fasting 40 days, what did he fight the devil off with? The Word of God. So if Jesus needed the Word of God to fight off the devil, what makes us think that we don't need the Word of God to fight off the devil? Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you are devoted to studying the Word, you will know the Word and it becomes hidden in your heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The sword symbolizes power, protection, authority, strength, and courage. A two-edged or double-edged sword can cut in two directions. So the Word of God has proven to be sharper than a two-edged sword with the ability to cut in two directions, separating or dividing the truth from a lie. We know lies and deceit is the enemy's strongest and most common tactic. Deceit and lies is what got Eve all caught up. So we must know the truth. The Word of God is our defense and our protection. It is our best interest, in our best interest, to devote ourselves to study it, to know it, and to use it. I'm almost done, y'all. We are devoted to one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So what does it mean to be devoted to one another. The second half of Romans 12, Paul instructs us on how to treat one another. He talks about how our love for each other should be sincere, how we should share with those in need, how we should practice hospitality, how we should rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony and at peace with everyone. Don't seek revenge on those who offend you. This is how we are devoted to one another. But additionally, being devoted to one another also includes our devotion to be intentional about seeking God on his purpose and his will for our lives, and walking in that purpose and cooperating with this plan for our lives. Back to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So just like you have one body, your arms don't do what your legs were designed to do, and your hands don't do what your neck was designed to do. Do you know that even your pinky toe, I told you I like to research. So do you know that even your pinky toe is important? It's an important part of your overall balance. So you have to think of your foot as having a triangular base of balance. So it's your big toe, your pinky toe, and your heel. Damage to any part of that triangle throws off your entire balance. So as small as that pinky toe is, if something happens to it, it affects your entire balance. It affects your ability to walk and move. Your pinky toe is important, just as you are important. We need what you have to offer. We need whatever your purpose is and whatever the plan is that God has for your life. We need it. You're not walking in your purpose. You don't know how that is impacting others. And if you do walk in your purpose, you don't know how that is impacting and inspiring others. Walking in your calling and utilizing your gifts is not just for you. It's for us. I have a little bit of a story here. Last Sunday, my little sister was over, and we were going to host dinner for a couple of young adults from my church. And they're vegan. The two of them are vegan that we were hosting. So we were on Pinterest, and we were on Google trying to figure out what could we cook as a vegan meal. And so we found a vegan dirty rice recipe. And so, first of all, I don't like to cook at all. But this recipe had a bunch of ingredients in it that I'm not used to cooking with. Eggplant. And then you have to chop up a bunch of stuff, celery, peppers, onion, garlic. You have vegan sausage. You have to do a whole bunch of stuff. And then in cooking the rice, it was talking about putting bay leaf in the thing. Just I had to get a bunch of stuff that I'm not used to dealing with, okay? But we followed the recipe to a T, chopped up all the vegetables, you know, chopped up the everything, followed it to a T. I'm not just saying this because I helped make it, but the rice was amazing. And I'm not just saying that. The rice wasn't, because if it wasn't amazing, I would tell you. If it wasn't amazing, I wouldn't even include this story. But because it was amazing, I'm including the story. The rice was absolutely amazing. There was just this robust flavor about the rice. It was good. I enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. It was good. So the next day, Monday, which was a holiday, we were off. It was so good, we wanted to make it again. But we didn't have some of the ingredients. So we were talking amongst ourselves, like, maybe we should just try it. I think we were out of the peppers and something else. And so we were considering doing that. But I said, you know what? I don't know how all those ingredients work together to make that rice so bomb. You know, we better not. We better follow the recipe the way it was and include all of the ingredients, because I don't know which of those ingredients made the rice that bomb. And that's the way it is with us in the body of Christ. We all have our gifts. We all have our talents. We all have our calling. And you might look at one person and be like, dang, my calling ain't like that. Or you might look at this person and be like, man, my gift ain't like that. But what I'm trying to tell you is, no matter how big or small you think your gifting is, you think your calling is, we all need it. We need you. Your gift and your talents is not just for you. We need you. You don't know how we're missing out because you're sitting on your gift, how we're missing out because you're sitting on your calling, how we're missing out because you're sitting on your talents. We need you. Some of us are slipping. We're not giving it at all, our all. To be devoted is to be fully, completely, and wholly committed. God gave me a word a couple of years ago, and I really am almost done. I'm not that preacher that be like, in closing, I don't really be closing. In closing. God gave me a word a couple of years ago, reminding me not to be a semi-Christian. Semi is a prefix that has one or two meanings. A prefix that means half. For example, a semicircle is half a circle. Or it could mean partly, somewhat, less than fully. Like semi-conscious means partly conscious. So what the Lord was showing me is some of us are semi-Christians. We semi-serve him. We semi-serve others. We're semi-obedient. We semi-love. We have a semi-faith. We semi-worship. We have a semi-prayer life. We semi-give. And because of that, we have a semi-peace, a semi-joy, a semi-happiness, semi-self-control. Our minds are semi-right. Our hearts are semi-pure. God is saying enough of being a semi-Christian. God is saying enough of being semi-devoted. He wants you to be holy, fully, and completely devoted to him. The only way that he can really use you is if he has your whole devotion. He cannot really use you to his full capacity, to your full capacity, if you're giving him a semi-devotion. You have to be fully, wholly, completely devoted to the Lord. I don't want to ignore, I'm closing. I don't want to ignore the theme scripture. It's Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so I looked up some of these words. Press in the Greek means pursue, follow after. Forward is after, beyond. So I pursue after. Mark is goal. I pursue after the goal for the prize, which is an award. But this was one for me. Calling. In the Greek, the definition for calling is invitation. God is giving you an invitation. God gives you a personal invite to live with him eternally in heaven. We know heaven is the end goal, but while you're here, until you get to heaven, be devoted to him to do whatever it is he has called you to do. It is rewarding. There's reward in obedience. There's reward in being in God's will. I read something about God's will. I read something that said, if you go outside of God's will to get something, you have to stay outside of God's will to keep it. There's reward in being in God's will. There's reward in living in purpose and in the plan of God, intentional, the plan that God intentionally, strategically created for you. God took time to create a purpose just for you. He was intentional about that. He was strategic about that. He has equipped you with everything that you need to live out his will for your life. But it takes you making a decision to be 100% completely devoted. Amen? That's all I got. God bless y'all.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.